Hello, I'm Al Rasmussen for the Missing People podcast. Kelly Jolkowski, president and founder of Project Jason, first wrote the following story on Friday, September 30th, 2005. She called it The All-American Girl. Please be warned that some of the information presented contains graphic descriptions of violent acts which may be disturbing to you. Also, we recommend that young people listen to these programs only with the direct participation of their parents or other appropriate adult guardianship.
On Friday, September 30th, 2005, I wrote The All-American Girl Part 1 for Maura Murray and her family. Some people just don't think about the missing. If it's not someone they know and love, and they have never been touched by it in some way, it's just another one of many sad things that happen in this life. I admit that I used to be one of those people. If I ever saw the story of a missing person on the news, I would think, how sad, and it would leave my mind just as quickly as it entered it. I certainly never thought that someone I love would be on the evening news. It's not that I didn't care. I had no connection to it. When it happens to you, things change very rapidly. Now I work to help others understand by sharing these stories from the heart. Even if they do not know anyone missing themselves, perhaps something they read will help them connect, help them to care, and help them want to react. In doing this work, I get to know many families of the missing. That is the other side of what I do. I hear the stories and provide a listening ear for the airing of frustrations and the outpouring of tears. I get to know some of them better than others because of time, circumstance, and shared philosophies. I feel strongly about each case being more than just a number and a physical description. They are all people who are loved and have hopes and dreams. Sometimes a story comes along that is harder to write than some of the others. This is one of those stories. A tale of an all-American girl next door whom I have come to know and love through her family. I've never had the pleasure of meeting Maura Murray. I've never stood face to face with her astonishing beauty. I've never looked into her twinkling eyes and observed the dimples that made her all the more lovely. Someday, I hope that I will meet her. I feel as if I do know her personally, which makes it difficult to tell the world that she is lost to us. I came to know her primarily through Sharon Rausch, Maura's future mother-in-law. Sharon loves Maura so deeply. Because of this deep love, for a brief period of time after I started to work for them on Maura's case, I thought she was Maura's mother. This weekend you will also come to know Maura through the eyes of those who love her. You'll learn to what great lengths a father will go for his daughter in an attempt to find her. You will know that love truly has no bounds for this all-American girl. It's been a long and difficult road for the Murrays and the Rausches since Maura disappeared. On the night of February 9th, 2004, Maura was driving on Route 112 near Haverhill, New Hampshire. Her car slid into a snowbank on a hairpin curve. The temperature was 12 degrees and dropping with light snow falling. She had personal belongings in her car, including gloves. She did not take her gloves with her into the dark, bitter night. What happened after that remains a mystery. I want you to know Maura as I do. To know her is to love her, and in loving her, you will want her found, too. The following is an excerpt from Maura's Adopt-a-Missing-Person bio as written by her future mother-in-law, Sharon. These personal bios are included with every button on the program and mailed to caring persons who pledge to wear Maura's photo button and share her story. You can find this page at projectjason.org/adopt.html. Maura Murray was born May 4th, 1982, in Eastern Massachusetts. From a very young age, she showed an outstanding athletic ability. Her father, Fred Murray, encouraged her and often coached her in youth leagues, including basketball, softball, and soccer. Maura also loved to hike and run. Although soccer was her best sport, she loved basketball and running the most. As a freshman in high school, Maura was the starting point guard on the high school varsity team. During her sophomore year, she gave up all sports to concentrate on running track and cross country. Maura set and still holds many running records in all levels of competition in the state of Massachusetts. Before Maura's disappearance, she also excelled in academics. In 2000, she graduated fourth in her high school class. She scored 1,420 out of 1,600 on her college SAT entrance exam and was accepted as a cadet at the United States Military Academy at West Point. Maura spent a year and a half at West Point majoring in chemical engineering before she transferred to the University of Massachusetts at Amherst to pursue a major in nursing. At both West Point and the University of Massachusetts, Maura excelled in the classroom and on the cross-country courses and track fields. She was on the dean's list each semester until her disappearance. Maura has a bubbly and vibrant personality. She loves life, as evidenced by her constant smile, which is framed by her amazing dimples and dazzling white teeth. Maura is a quiet person for the most part, but she has a wonderful sense of humor and is known for her kind wit and sarcastic comebacks. Smiling and quiet laughter are as natural to Maura as breathing. Thank you notes from Maura were received by anyone who offered her the slightest kindness. She enjoyed cards decorated with cows. She often would send a birthday card or a thinking of you card with a picture of a cow and change the wording to make a rhyme to offer her appreciation. A thank you from Maura is always a treat. Maura's favorite color is blue. She likes fruit and French vanilla coffee for breakfast. She appreciates simple things like Gala or Fuji apples or a just ripe banana. A large salad with all the fixings is Maura's choice for lunch or dinner each day. She loves to try new recipes and, of course, is expert in salad making. Before her disappearance on Monday, February 9, 2004, Maura was looking forward to receiving her engagement ring in the summer of 2004, graduating from nursing school in May 2005, and getting married in the summer or fall of 2005. She had already arranged for a summer job beginning in June 2004 in a hospital in Oklahoma to be near her boyfriend, who is a lieutenant in the United States Army. Maura is truly the all-American girl. She is not only beautiful, but she is also kind, funny, smart, optimistic, motivated, hardworking, loyal, and loving. Sharon shares one of her favorite memories of Maura. "This comes to mind each time that I look out my kitchen window. Maura usually spent 3 to 6 weeks with us in the summer. We owned several acres, and it seemed that even with a small tractor, there is always a need for some mowing. The first summer Maura was here, she softly said to my husband in her Boston accent, 'I see you have a sitting mower. I always wanted to ride a sitting mower.' My husband managed not to laugh at the sitting mower comment and asked her if she would like him to teach her. She was thrilled. Now, the back 2 to 3 acres have never been graded. Only a few years ago, they were used to grow corn or beans, so the ground has lots of rolling mounds instead of being smooth. Bill and I sat on the patio and watched as Maura literally flopped like a rag doll on the tractor with the mowing blade stopped each time gravity lifted her off the seat. The tractor has a safety feature that stops the mower if no one is on the seat. Bill made the adjustment so the tractor would mow, and Maura would spend hours in low gear doing our work, and then she would thank us for it. In an irony that must be very painful, Sharon and her family received a final letter from Maura that was a thank you for her Christmas gifts, which included fur-lined gloves and a AAA membership. Those items were left in her abandoned car on the very cold night Maura disappeared. Sharon's daughter, Crystal, was looking forward to having Maura as her sister-in-law. They shared many hours together. Crystal observed and admired Maura's always positive demeanor. Maura's friend Kate wants us to know Maura, too. Maura is a person that gets along with everyone. She's outgoing and smart. She always makes you feel better if you're down, and will always find a way to make you laugh at any situation, no matter how bad it may seem. There's a song by Switchfoot. The main line of the chorus is, "We were meant to live for so much more." I think of Maura whenever I hear that song because I know that she is meant for success wherever she is, because she puts everything into what she does. Another friend, Nast, tells us of Maura's humility. "Maura is my friend. She was my teammate. She is an athlete like me. She is competitive like me. She used to get really nervous before every race, just like me. She used to do people's hair on the bus rides to track meets, just like me. And then I would do hers. She was quiet, shy, but fierce on the track. She laughed at all my lame jokes and never noticed when the boys noticed her. And she could dance. Boys had crushes on her, and despite being on a competitive women's track team where sometimes girls' egos run high, Maura did not show one bit. Not even the slightest bit of an ego. She was so darn humble it hurt. Not one person I know disliked her. She was such a great role model." Maura and the Rausches grew closer as her relationship with Billy blossomed. Maura and my son Billy had plans to marry in September of 2005 and to honeymoon at her favorite of all places, the White Mountains of New Hampshire. She told me that at some point she just wanted to have lots of little Billies and grow old with Bill. Before the little Billies, she planned on a career in the medical field. She was in the University of Massachusetts BA nursing program when she went missing, but she planned on pursuing additional advanced degrees after her marriage. Because Maura lived in Massachusetts and I live in Ohio, we were never together without her being with Billy. Therefore, we did some cooking and cleaning together. I have some wonderful memories of those times, but usually our time was spent with at least my son and very often with many more of our family. When I picture Maura, I see the look on her face each and every time that she looked at my son. I saw it the first time my son introduced her to me. How could any mother fail to care for someone who loved her son so deeply and unconditionally? Over the years, the look of love continued to deepen and grow. It had taken on a special glow in January 2004 when I saw her last. The hope for the formal union of these two came to a crashing halt on Monday, February 9th. This is the last email correspondence from Maura to Billy. Monday, 9 February 2004. Subject, "Hey, hey," to Bill Rausch. "I love you more, Stud. I got your messages, but honestly, I didn't feel like talking to much of anyone. I promised to call today, though. Love you, Maura." How did this cherished all-American girl then disappear from the lives of those who loved her?
You were listening to the Missing People podcast. Our participating voice talents were Sue Rasmussen as Kelly Jolkowski and Al Rasmussen. Produced and directed by Steve Branham. Original music created and performed by Ariana Kima. Copyright 2006-2007, all rights reserved, by both the Missing People podcast and Project Jason. For more information about Maura Murray, please go to mauramurray.com. That's mauramurray.com. For my co-hosts, Kelly Jolkowski and Steve Branham, thank you for listening. I'm Al Rasmussen for the Missing People podcast.